Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the fourth day of September, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is the end times. This will be a solo rant. No guest is scheduled. At a later part in the broadcast, we will open up the phone lines if somebody wants to jump in with a comment or question. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. Callers, again, will be welcome. We do ask that you keep comments or questions as short as possible to allow others to participate. And we are in the question and answer mode. The website that contains the schedule for our calls and a lot of other information and archives. And by the way, the Daily Mail page is being updated almost every single day. Lots of links, more than I can send out by email. So I do suggest that at least once or twice during the day, if you could check the call schedule in the Daily Mail page of PastorDan.net. That makes it a lot easier on me if I just have to keep the web page updated and you can get your information there. A lot of these platforms, especially Gmail and a few others, are trying to make it very difficult to send bulk mail. Again, so that's the reason for the website anyway, is to be a focal point for news items, teaching. I've put about 8 different links up there in the last few days for e-books that are available as PDF files, free downloads, some really, really good ones like the 13th Tribe and many, many others. Now, before we get into something that I found here just before airtime, I found a letter that was sent out back in January of 2010. So I want to read that letter because I think it's very appropriate for where we're at on the timeline in these latter days. Before we get into the letter, I want to go to Proverbs. So let me pull my book up here. Proverbs chapter 1, starting at verse 20. This section is called The Call for Wisdom. Now, interestingly enough, Doug McIntosh had these verses on his blog site, and he is the author of the letter that we're going to be reading. But he referenced Proverbs 1, 20 through 33, as a warning to us of our complacency and what it has done to our nation, the world in general as well, but particularly here in the United States. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the broad places, meaning like a marketplace out in the broad streets. At the head of the noisy streets, she cries out. At the openings of the gates in the city, she speaks her words. Quote, how long, you simple ones, would you love simplicity? And shall scoffers delight in their scoffing? And fools hate knowledge. And if you look this Greek word up, it's got to do with discernment. So truth or discernment. Fools hate knowledge. Turn at my reproof. See, I pour out my spirit on you. I make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no one inclined. And you spurned all my counsel and would not yield to my reproof. Let me also laugh at your calamity, mock when your dread comes, like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind. Does it sound like hurricanes, storms? When distress and anguish come upon you, let them then call on me, but I answer not. Let them seek me, but not find me. Because they hated knowledge, discernment, or truth, and did not choose to fear Yahweh El Shaddai. They did not accept my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore, let them eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own counsels. For the turning away of the simple kills them, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me dwells safely and is at ease from the dread of evil. How many times have we talked about on this program the need for us to walk in the counsel of the Almighty and His Holy Spirit? I mean, we've talked about it over and over and over. Well, why is that? Because of exactly what it says right there. Okay? We as a nation are in trouble because we as a nation have turned our backs on our Heavenly Father. The church world is abysmal. Absolutely abysmal. It's run by prostitutes and whores called preachers who will do whatever the establishment tells them because they think they're part of the clique that's going to get saved out of what's coming down the pike. And of course, that's what the liars will always tell them. Bolsheviks will always tell you, you're going to be okay. You're helping us. So yeah, we call you useful idiots and useless eaters, but we're just saying that, okay? We really don't mean it. And these morons actually believe it. So we, the people, again, the only safety we have is in our Heavenly Father. We say it over and over and over. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Now, I've had a few pieces of mail come in about the topic of Paul's letters, and some people take issue with that. And let me reiterate, okay, how many times have I said this? If you want to believe Paul's letters or gospel and take a place next to the prophets and Christ himself, if you wish to believe that, go right ahead. Why does it upset somebody that I personally don't care for Paul's letters that much and mentioned that if it were up to me, I'd put him as an appendix to the Bible? Why does that upset people? Does that show brainwashing? Because the mainstream churches, particularly the Roman Catholic and the whores of her daughters, which are the Protestant churches, the mainstream ones anyway, they're all relying on Paul's letters. You look at their doctrines, and at least 80% of their doctrines are taken out of the twisting of Paul's words. Well, you got to ask yourself, why did they pick Paul's words? Because his words are easier to twist into the demented modern-day churchianity. That's why. Why else would you do it? Why else would the Catholic Church stick Paul's letters in that thing you call a Bible? And by the way, let me point out something before we get into Doug's letter here. As we ponder this, okay? How long have our people, let's talk, the people of Jacob, the Caucasian Israelites, how long have we had Bible studies in our homes? How long have we carried concordances around with us and lexicons to do deep, in-depth word studies? How long have we had that? Think very hard about that now. I'm asking you a question. You know, in your mind, go back a century, maybe two centuries, maybe three centuries. Here's all of these Israelites. They came to America. They're all over Europe. They've explored the known world. How many of them carried a Bible with them? Almost none. Because the first Bibles didn't start showing up until about 500 years ago, and most of them were in Latin. And only the rich could afford them, and the Catholic Church church made sure it stayed in Latin for as long as they could. Why is that? Because they were the only ones who still spoke Latin, because Latin had fallen out of use in most of the other nations where the Israelites went. So right there, it shows you a desire to deceive, that you would write the scriptures in Latin and do the masses in Latin when the people don't speak Latin. Now, some of the educated people did, but most of the common people did not speak Latin. Okay, so it's only been a relatively short period of time, thanks to modern inventions, that you've even had the ability to look at the scriptures. And now we have, what, hundreds of different just English translations. And yet our people still want to mince at little details and get into arguments about little details, completely forgetting about what Messiah, who came here as what? An example. He said, I've come amongst you as what? An example. Let me show you how it's done. And again, did he carry a Bible? No, obviously he didn't, because they didn't exist. Not till over 1,000 years later, 1,500 years later. So what did he do? He spoke truths. He would refer to it is written, meaning the prophets wrote about it. If you want to go down to the temple, or if you want to go to the rich people's house and open up a scroll for a handwritten copy, you can go look at the words. And if you bothered to attend the feasts, that's when they read from the scrolls the law. So that's where the people would hear the law spoken and would retain it, and it was spoken, just like we do on this program. We speak his truths. He said, as I do these things, you will do even greater. Correct? Okay? One of the reasons we get into all these arguments and all these fights is because everybody wants to deep dive into these long word studies in what we believe to be authentic scripture, but we completely ignore the Holy Spirit that's alive inside you right now, real time. Don't need any books. Don't need anything for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. When I was a boy, I could look at a black and a white together, and I knew it was wrong. I didn't need a book to tell me that. I knew it was wrong. My eyes told me it was wrong. When somebody was beating somebody up, I knew it was wrong. I didn't witness anybody getting killed, but I knew it was wrong, even on the TV programs when they portrayed it. Deep inside, I knew it was wrong. You don't take an innocent person's life. Okay? So the whole time the enemy has got us at each other's throats over issues that really are inconsequential, to be quite honest. They're inconsequential. We have an enemy that's preparing for a totally Bolshevistic takeover of the white nations of this world. Walmart just announced that they will no longer sell pistols or pistol ammunition, and they may not even sell, according to a friend of mine just before the program, in northern Florida, he said the local Walmart there is not going to sell any weapons or ammunition. So you see the purpose for all of these false flags, these staged events on shootings, okay? And they are false flags. They are staged events. And again, that does not mean that somebody didn't get hurt. Just like 9/11 was a staged event. There were lots of people got hurt, almost all of them innocent people. The perpetrators, including the Israelis that were supposed to be at work that day who never showed up, okay, they didn't get hurt. The people who planned it and pulled it off didn't get hurt, but innocent people did get hurt. That doesn't mean it wasn't a staged event, because it was. Okay? And they're doing it again. And that tells you, if you're paying attention, it tells you what they're up to. And I've said it how many times to you? And Proverbs here is referring to it. You've been told, beware when they make the move to disarm you. And a corollary to disarming you is making it almost immediately a felony for you to bear arms or be seen with arms, or be talking about arms, trying to make it out like you are a criminal element. That's what the news media is doing, and that's what this administration is supporting. And that's why I found this letter. I think the Holy Spirit helped me find this letter today, written by Doug McIntosh back in 2010, and he posted it, and it went all over the place. And I sent it to many, many people because I liked his reasoning, and this letter is what got me a phone call from a retired military intelligence individual from South Carolina. And again, I don't know for a fact he was. That's what he told me, and the Holy Spirit did not tell me that he was lying, and we had a really good conversation. He was asking me really good questions clear back in 2010 about a military coup in this country to save it. And as I told him, and I'm telling you, and I've said it ever since, the only thing that will save this country is the military stepping in. The system is broke. Just look at this nonsense with Trump and his administration. And everybody sits around pulling their hair out. Nothing's getting done. Now Epstein's gotten free, and all these people get free, and Hillary's still... Yeah, because you didn't put the right people in charge. You've got the Democratic communists and the Republican communists. Why do you think Communist A or Communist B is going to fix the problem? The communists love what's going on. They're setting us up for the final takeover. My question is, where is the military? Where are the white hats? And as we read this letter, think about what he's saying, Mr. Doug McIntosh. And if I remember right, he was part of our military. But I'm going to read this letter, and we're going to discuss it. And also, as I get into this, when you hear a coup d'etat, that's French. Okay, coup means a blow. And d'etat means of the state, a blow of the state, or a blow in English, we'd probably say a blow to the state, meaning a takeover. But in French, it's coup d'etat. So let me read the letter to you. I think the possibility of a military coup d'etat in the United States is the highest it's ever been in our history. The reasons for that are legion. We are simply at a point in our history where the U.S. military may very well decide to take over running the country. The reason they will do this is not to save the American Republic, which died in October of 2008 with the first Wall Street and bank bailout votes. No, it will be at a more basic level. To save the territorial integrity and lives of Americans. Amen. The U.S. military may very well decide that they need to assume direct control in order to prevent a combination of economic collapse, social collapse, and military collapse. We should begin at the beginning, as they say. The reason for any potential U.S. military coup is simple. If the military thinks they can do a better job than the civilian leadership, they will stage a coup. If not, the military will avoid a coup. An analysis of the current situation in the United States provides a clearer explanation for any potential military coup. The first rule of military coups is they rarely, if ever, happen unless the civilians have mucked up things so badly the military is required to intervene. Let me stop here. That's what we've been saying for almost 10 years. The civilian Zionist Bolshevik government has mucked everything up. Only a righteous white hat military intervening can save us. Continuing, historically, military people want to have as little to do with politics as they can, at least in the Western nations. As long as the system runs along smoothly, the politicians aren't complete idiots, and the people are relatively content. The military is more than happy to stay in their barracks. It is only when things head south the military gets involved. Hallelujah, that's right. I think the model for what is happening in the U.S., what has been happening since Obama was anointed, is Chile. In 1973, Chile elected a Marxist egghead named Allende, who promptly began to impose a Marxist dictatorship on Chile. The military moved against him and imposed a military dictatorship under Pinochet. 2 decades later, the military gave up power. Both the reasons and the methods used in Chile directly apply to the United States, although hopefully any U.S. military coup will avoid the death squads common in Chile. The United States is functionally bankrupt at all levels, federal, state, city, and county, individuals and corporations. The U.S. military has severe strains on its resources, abilities, and people. The U.S. military is now subjected to brazen attacks at its bases inside the United States. The political leadership class is incompetent, arrogant, out of touch, and increasingly drunk on personal ambition and power. Can you say kakistocracy? The media is full of lying shills. The banksters, Wall Street whores, and corporate criminals are beyond restraint now, feeding at the Federal Reserve and U.S. Treasury with no concern for the exploding anger and chaos around them. As the United States burns, the political, cultural, media, educational, and religious leadership ignores the problems, denies the problems, or uses the problems to enrich themselves at taxpayer expense. The non-military leadership classes in the United States are beyond reform. Now, let me repeat that. The non-military leadership classes in the United States of America are beyond reform. And this is 9 years ago, almost 10 years ago. As such, they will simply be replaced during any military coup d'etat. The civilian leadership classes are simply not relevant to any future events in the USA over the next decade. The military knows this. The people know this. The leadership classes are so out of touch, they do not. The military leadership of the United States of America at the highest level is globalist to the core. Let me repeat that. The military leadership of the United States at the highest levels is globalist to the core. However, the lower and middle levels are not. Keep that in mind as we listen to these various reports that we're getting. It will be a colonel's coup. Somebody left out a word here. And not come from the Joint Chiefs of Staff. The generals have already sold out the nation to the globalists for at least the last 2 decades. The Joint Chiefs have all been CFR members for a long time now. The highest levels of the military are no longer interested in national identity or nationalism at all. They're out of touch with the increasingly frustrated and angry troops under their command. It was the Freikorps, a group of frustrated World War I veterans, which formed the striking force for radical change in Germany when the Weimar Republic imploded. Janet of Fatherland Security thinks so based upon her recent comments. The Freikorps can be either left or right, as cultural conditions permit. My view is the American Freikorps, that's German for Free Corps, will be populist and Constitution loving. Again, my view is the American Freikorps, meaning citizen soldiers, who will make up the military in the military takeover. They will avoid racial stupidity and thus be successful. The armed militia is a large segment of the Freikorps. Thank you. The function of our imperial U.S. military is no longer to protect the American Republic. Their function is to protect the society, and by doing that, to protect themselves. If the current corrupt American civilian leadership classes think the imperial U.S. military is going to fall on the sword to protect the status quo for them, they are even more delusional than I think they are. The military takes care of its own. The military protects its own. And the military loves its own. These Clinton retreads running around our Marxist dictator Obama have no idea how much the U.S. military despises them, nor do they have any idea of how little is preventing a military coup d'etat. The first condition for a military coup d'etat has already been met, namely the incompetence and corruption of the ruling civilian elite. Hallelujah. Amen. Kakistocracy. The U.S. military now realizes its own people are dying because of the insolence and incompetence of the Obama administration. And let me say, it's continued since then, too. The only issue is whether or how much longer they will tolerate it. On a broad range of issues, the Obama administration is seriously disconnected from the general populace of the United States as well as the U.S. military. The U.S. military is appalled at the level of stupidity regarding nuclear weapon drawdowns, forced deployments, the war in both Iraq and Afghanistan, open attacks by militant Islam inside the United States, being allowed by the Obama administration. The U.S. military is coming to two conclusions about the Obama administration. One, they are incompetent, and two, that incompetence is getting Americans killed. It got American soldiers gunned down at Fort Hood, and it nearly got 300 Americans killed over Detroit's airport. The military will not give Obama a third chance. Three strikes, and you are out. I could add that Janet's incredibly moronic statement about the system working didn't go over in either the intelligence or military spheres. You can be a bastard, but you better be a competent one. We have a situation where the civilian leadership is discredited, incompetent, and allowing Americans to be killed with impunity inside the United States by terrorists. We can add to that Antifa and such groups as that, supported with George Soros and other Zionist money. Such is the current state of America. At all levels of our culture, our economy, our daily lives, we are besieged and overwhelmed by the stupidity of political correctness. Political correctness will either be the death of us or the causative agent of a military coup d'etat. We are not quite there yet. And again, this was 10 years ago. The military has not given up hope. The military will likely wait for the November elections in the hope the worthless Republicans can reverse the worst of our Marxist-in-Chief's agenda. The pieces have not quite come together yet for a military coup. We need to have the final political despair. Personally, I don't think it matters whether we even have elections this November. The trends are clear enough for me to see anyway. Here is the most likely scenario. The United States lurches and stumbles through 2010 with increasing economic and social distress. Amen. We're there. The system manages to issue enough debt to maintain the social order long enough for the November elections. The Republicans stomped the Democrats. Early in 2011, the Republicans attempt to reverse our Marxist-in-Chief's agenda with varying results. Or the Republicans betray the voters and make few changes. Ha ha, there you have it. Amen, brother. The Republicans betray. Yeah, they're Bolshevik of a different color, but they're still Bolsheviks. The only certain result is a bitterly divided country. 25% of Obama's true believers versus 25% armed militia, with the rest caught in the middle. Those are the rocks, as I call them, the rocks. The military is also caught in the middle as the rhetoric intensifies with charges of racism and anti-Semitism and the like. Amen. It's almost like he's a prophet, isn't it? It's exactly what's happening, especially right now. In 2011, the Taliban kicked the United States out of Afghanistan. In the USA itself, militant Islam openly attacks with impunity due to the politically correct dogmas of Obama and his ilk. We lurch through 2011 in a state of profound crisis at all levels of our society. The Southern Poverty Law Center, owned and operated by Jews, by the way, issues hysterical press releases about Nazis everywhere. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton start howling about racism. Everybody is screaming at each other about everything. Yep, victim mentality. As the U.S. heads into 2012, the nation is fundamentally flawed at all levels. Social anarchy is everywhere as rioting urbanites protest service cuts. Government, when it functions at all, is at a bare minimum. The U.S. military watches helplessly as it is defeated overseas, forced to flee with its tail between its legs back to the United States, where Obama bots openly attack it for racism, incompetence, and blame the defeats on them. The military watches helplessly as the domestic social order frays under the economic and racial tensions of 2012. And as the election cycle builds up, the military simply acts. It will act since the social order is breaking down. It will act since the system cannot deal with the crisis. It will act because the military is the power of last resort. When all else fails, the military will step in. The U.S. military simply tells Obama he is through. The U.S. military simply takes over and removes all the Obama bots from the government. The military declares martial law for 6 years and then simply starts doing things. The military declares the U.S. border sealed and sends the 82nd Airborne, showing on television the airborne drop to the Texas border. The military issues execution orders for all terrorists in captivity, along with child molesters and anybody on death row. The military sends 1,000 troops to Wall Street, hallelujah, and begins arresting the heads of Goldman Sachs, AIG, and others. They are paraded live on television to crowds of jeering onlookers. The military deals with the usual riots by blacks and others in the cities by simply sealing them off and cutting water, food, and power to them. After 3 weeks, all organized opposition to the military coup collapses since the armed militia made no attempt to fight the military. And this is what we talked about, the individual on the phone and I. Would the armed militia, the citizen soldiers of America, support or stop a military coup? As I told the gentleman I was talking to, it depends on who's running the coup, and I still say it today. If the coup is truly white hats who want to bring us back to what the founding fathers had established for our people, then they will have our support. But if it's more George Soros paid for stooges pretending to be a coup to bring back order when they want to put somebody like a Castro in power, or any other dictator, then the militia is going to turn around and fight them. So if you want the militia on your side, which is the biggest army in the world, then be righteous soldiers. Be righteous in what you do, just like the Roman general Trajan said to his troops, take the sword and fight the enemy as long as I issue righteous judgments and righteous orders. And as soon as I do not issue righteous judgments and orders, then use that sword on me. That's what a real commander, a commander you can trust, would tell his troops. And that's what Trajan told his Roman legion generals. We've talked about the Roman legion solution, which is basically what this man's talking about here many, many times. When the republic is in danger, when the people of the republic are in danger, and the civilian government is corrupt beyond belief, your only solution is for the people to rise up, and the military are of the people. So whether they are active duty, whether they are retired, or they are citizen soldiers, they're all part of the same group. Continuing, the military arranges a summit of all the constitutionalist, populist, militia, and patriot groups and finds strong support for its military coup d'etat. As Muslims are rounded up for deportation, as political liberals flee the country for France, large numbers of Americans have no concern over the military coup. In fact, many welcome it. And strangely enough, that's exactly what I told the gentleman I was talking to. Our country's dying, sir. Dying. Anything that can help save it, the people will support it. Whenever Hollywood types show up to protest the execution of child molesters, for instance, they are savagely beaten by enraged mobs. The military takes direct control of all media outlets and simply replaces all the mainstream media people en masse. The American people neither notice nor care as long as American Idol keeps running. Sadly, he's right about that. A lot, not the 25% that are awake, but that 50% in the middle, the bell curve, that are completely, let's face it, they're completely retarded. They're on their drug called entertainment. But just let them go, because they're not going to do anything to hurt or to help. It's the 25% on each end you got to worry about. Within 90 days of the military coup d'etat, life has returned to normal, or what poses for normal in the United States. The borders have been sealed. Illegal immigrants and Muslims, among others, have either left the country or been kicked out. Hallelujah! There you go. The Federal Reserve has been abolished as the military begins the process of reindustrializing the United States. How many times have we heard that? Okay, this was written in 2010. The elite will either have fled, been imprisoned, or executed by the military government in an effort to maintain its popularity. Like I said, large sections of the American populace will support the coup wholeheartedly. The ones who don't will either flee, be arrested, or keep very quiet. However, the military coup will remain in power because it will have the support of the armed militias and the troops. The 1.25 million weapons being sold per month since Obama took power will be held by people sympathetic to the goals of a military coup. The coup will be launched by constitutionalist and patriot elements inside the United States military, mostly below the level of colonel, I think, when they judge the social chaos has reached the point of collapsing the country. I think we're there already. When these final conditions are met, not now in 2010, but in 2012, the U.S. military will move quickly and decisively to take power and save the USA from imploding. Now, again, this was written in 2010. He's predicting 2012. Well, here we are near the end of 2019. Where's my military coup? Some people are saying it's happened, but the way he describes it, you wouldn't be able to keep that a secret. That's not something you do in secret. How can the militia support something done in secret? That's my big concern about what's going on. The military, as Rush Limbaugh put it so well, is designed to break things and kill people. It is only a matter of time, in my opinion, before the U.S. military decides it's had enough of Obama and his Obama bots, enough of Americans openly being murdered by militant Islam inside the United States, and enough of the politically correct idiocy that does nothing. When the economic conditions are dire enough, the armed militias angry enough, and the military fed up enough, things will flow together and create the ideal conditions for a military coup d'etat. Let me add, again, this guy's not claiming to be a prophet, so his timing could be off, but what he's stating here in principle is very much true. And a lot of times things take longer to wind up and happen than what we first foretold. I remember back when Y2K was the big scare. If somebody had said we'd have been here in 2019 talking about this stuff, I would have laughed. I didn't think there was any way we'd last that long, to be honest with you. So timing's in our Father's hands. These are the principles we're talking about here, and these principles still exist today. Mr. Q, whoa, could this be where Q starts? I never noticed this in this letter before. Q tells me that, quote, government types regularly monitor the Q files. How about that? So Q, this is clear back in 2010. Hopefully, I am on every domestic terrorist list Janet has. Of course, he's talking about Janet Reno. If not, I am not trying hard enough. This essay will get the echelon types to take their feet off the consoles, no doubt. A military coup d'etat, which incorporated elements of the armed militia, populist, Tea Party, and constitutionalist philosophy, would have a very good chance of happening, and then being successful. Some may consider this essay fiction. Some may consider it madness. However, I consider it a sober and reasoned analysis of what may very well happen in the next 2 years or so. The military will move if conditions get bad enough in order to save the territorial integrity of the United States as well as its basic social framework. By the way, the military government will not be racist per se, but they will be merit-based and have no tolerance for the types of deviant behavior common in minority communities. In other words, you will not get shot because you are black or Hispanic. You will get shot because you are a drug-selling, gang-banging, rapist thug. They will apply the military method of merit based race relations to the general populace. This will render Jesse Jackson et al. All out of business. One of the major reasons for the success of the military coup d'etat is that they will actually deliver on racial equality, unlike the racist Obama, whose plan was to pit all racial groups against each other to implement his Marxist dictatorship. Criminal members of minority communities will be held accountable for their deviancy, but opportunity will be unlimited for those who play by the rules. Illegal aliens will be hunted down and deported, but legal refugees will feel no fear. Such policies will make the military government quite popular. As I said, the liberal PC morons will simply leave the United States, shut up, or be beaten to death when they show up to demonstrate. The key is the response of the armed militia. Let me repeat that. The key is the response of the armed militia. I do not believe the armed militia will take up arms against a military government, which was sealing the border, and deporting illegal aliens, arresting the whores on Wall Street, and kicking Muslims out of the United States. Nearly 20 million personal weapons have been sold since Obama was anointed, along with 10 billion rounds of ammunition. Again, this was clear back in 2010. 10 billion with a B rounds of ammunition. The USA had 9 million in the military during World War II. The armed militia is now twice as big as the entire U.S. military in World War II. The U.S. military can either fight the armed militia or they can incorporate its views in a national salvation type of government. I believe the U.S. military will do the latter and be hugely popular. In particular, any military government which executed the head of Goldman Sachs on live television would remain in power for a generation at least. No doubt about that at all, in my view. And again, essay by Doug McIntosh, who has a website where he puts current postings. I'm going to attempt to get in touch with him and have him come on this broadcast with me and discuss his letter from 2010. His blog is at Doomer Doug, D-O-O-M-E-R, Doomer Doug, that's together, .wordpress.com. So again, Doomer Doug, .wordpress.com. Now, if I get time, I have another letter that was written in 2011 by a person just goes by Horse237, and what his view about a coming coup would be all about. And again, we may read it, may not, just depends if we have time and whatnot. I think Doug McIntosh's letter pretty much says it all. And let's see some other things I wanted to get on here. Because everybody's getting fed up. I watched Colonel Potter today. He's completely exasperated by the current situation with Trump and his band of merry Zionists in Washington. Every other individual out there is saying similar things. Then we see all these red flag laws. We still see the dual citizenship crap going on. We still seeing favoritism to the Israelis, even laws passed in the United States that you can't criticize these bastards. On and on and on it goes, okay? We, the taxpayers, paying for our congressmen to go over to Israel to do a ceremonial signing of bills and things like that because, after all, Israel's our great friends. Israel over there trying to bomb the Iranians and kill Palestinians continually, and nothing is done about it. And yet, we're supposed to believe the white hats have taken over? No. The military coup that Doug McIntosh is talking about hasn't happened yet because of one very important thing. A real military coup by the White Hats is going to involve the militia. Let that be your canary in the coal mine. All right? If there's a coup and they haven't brought the people's militia on board with it, then it's a coup by the other side. Because you got to remember, military coups are a favorite way for the Bolshevik, Jew, Zionist, communists when they overthrow a country. So a coup is going to come to this country one way or the other. You mark my words, people. Mark my words. The time for playing church is over. All right, you can sit around with your concordances and try to dig down that rabbit hole as far as you want to go, but as Christ himself said, you want me to teach you the ways of heaven and you can't even discern the signs of the times here on earth. You can't even discern the weather and the things on earth, and yet you want to speak of heavenly things? You want to sit here and try to decide the proper Sabbath and temple worship and all this stuff that was done thousands of years ago, we have no clue exactly how it was done. No, we don't. So you want to discern heavenly things when you can't even discern what's going on right in front of your face. Your countries are being set up for a Bolshevik takeover. It's coming at you like a freight train. And you're still sitting around wanting to argue. Well, Dan, you disparaged Paul's letters, and I'm going to take offense to that. Well, you go right ahead. And when the Bolsheviks take over, and as they're lining you up against the wall to put a bullet in your head, you can feel better about yourself that you kept Paul's letters in your Bible, but you didn't join ranks with the other white men and take up arms to defend your families and your country. But you can feel better that you won the argument that Paul needs to stay in the Bible just before they put the bullet in your head. Okay? Is that what you want to do? You want to fight about racism? Well, I think, Dan, that Christ, he wouldn't have a problem as long as the two people love each other. I mean, geez, Dan, how could Christ say anything about a black and a white getting married? Again, you enjoy that all the way up until the time they put you against the wall to shoot you, because that's exactly where you're headed. They're tolerating and pushing this stuff because it divides us. Okay? The America I grew up in understood the basic laws of the Bible and even common sense and nature. And we forgot it all. We've turned our back on it all for political correctness, which is a Jewish invention, by the way. The Jew Bernays figured out propaganda a long time ago. He's written books on it. He used to teach on it. It comes out of the mind of a Talmudic Jew. How to propagandize people and get them to believe lies and get them to believe what you want so that you can do whatever it is you want to do, including take over their country. That's where it comes from. All this garbage that we're reading today, all of these demented things like consuming children, raping children, organ harvesting, all of it comes out of the mind of demented Jews. Their Talmud allows all of it. And yet you people claim you're Christian. That's what kills me. Well, Dan, I believe in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, Dan. I've got Jesus on my side. I don't need to worry about nothing. Well, again, you keep praising Jesus as they line you up against the wall and put a bullet in your head, because Christ, according to Proverbs, what we just read, the Father's not going to step in, folks. You turned your back on him. He's not going to. Why would he step in? Why would he stop the enemy from doing to you what he wants when you have turned your back on him? You're not even putting up a fight. You don't even have the common sense that God gave to the animal kingdom, which protects its own, which believes in kind after kind. Left on your own, you don't see dogs jumping cats, do you? You don't see robins mating with sparrows, do you? Again, on their own, keep man out of the picture. Man is a polluter and a perverter, always has been. That demented, evil side of man, particularly these non-white, demonic people, the Talmud thumpers, they come from, I don't know what black hole they came out of, but they are aliens, culturally, racially, mentally. And I heard somebody saying today, there was something about Jews have such a high IQ, that's why they think they're the chosen people. If somebody says that one more time, I'm going to vomit. Jews are not high IQ people. Stop telling lies. If Jews had superior intellect, they would not need to steal our stuff. They are criminal geniuses. However, they are not creators as Yahweh made Adam. They are not creative. They never have been. They never will be. they're dumber than rocks when it comes to that. That's why they have to steal. That's why even their own people refer to themselves as parasites. So stop promoting the damn lie that Jews are intellectual geniuses. No, they're not. Einstein is a complete fraud. It just goes to show the level of Bernays' propaganda that anybody thinks that the moron Einstein was a smart man. He worked as a clerk in a patent office. Are you kidding me? You can't figure that one out. Now, I admit, there's a whole lot of white people today that aren't very smart. They are completely retarded. And again, there's a good corollary to television watching to the level of their stupidity. There's a direct correlation to that. The more FaceTime in front of flat screens putting out propaganda pieces such as mainstream programming and entertainment, the more time spent in front of that mind suck called a black screen or a TV screen or a toilet, the more time spent, the less the brain is able to differentiate between reality and fiction. I've seen it time and time again. Back when the Waco stuff was going on, I was working at a plant, and we all got into a big discussion, and this guy went on and on and on about David Koresh and the Branch Davidians and on, and I just looked at him and I said, well, wait a minute, are you a personal friend of David Koresh? Well, no, I'm not. I said, well, then how do you know so much about him? You're sitting here talking about what's going through his head, and he's a pathological misfit. He's a this and that. He's a womanizer. I said, so you have intimate knowledge of David Koresh. You must have lived down there. Well, no, I don't. I said, well, then what the hell gives you the right to say what you're saying? Because he was making it like it was a good thing that the Branch Davidians were murdered. He goes, well, the TV reports. I said, wait a minute. Aren't you one of the guys just 30 minutes ago that was standing in this office with a bunch of us talking about the fact the media in this country lies about everything? Weren't you part of that? Yeah. And we pretty much agreed that everything, as we've grown older, we've figured out that the media lies about everything. And you agreed, but now you're going to sit here and condemn an entire group of senior citizens and little children to death, many of them by fire, in Waco, because the news media that you just admitted lies about everything. You see the cognitive dissonance and how powerful programming is and propaganda? It's unbelievable. Now, why is there so much angst right now because of the lack of productivity by this administration? Because there's an old axiom that goes, justice delayed is justice denied. Letting pieces of dog shit like the Obamas and the Clintons go to a natural death is not justice. Letting Epstein run off to some Israeli island somewhere to sip Mai Tais under a tiki hut is not justice. We haven't seen justice in this country in my lifetime. As United States Marine Corps General Smedley Butler said, war is a racket, and Colonel Don de Grand Pre, in his books, Barbarians Within the Gates, talk about the fact that our justice system and our military and our intelligence agencies are used against us, folks. They're there to protect the status quo. If you haven't figured that one out yet, you really are pretty much dumber than a box of rocks at this point in time. If you're talking to somebody and they haven't figured it out yet, you might as well walk away from them. We need to get our 25%, which is the armed militia. We need to get the armed militia ready, mentally, physically ready for what's coming. I feel it's that close. It really is. Because like I said, you are going to have to be ready to fight one way or the other, folks. You're either going to support a white hat military coup that Doug McIntosh described in his letter, and we will support that, or you're going to have to fight against a black hat military coup. But you're going to have a military coup in this country because the leftist Bolsheviks who are running the show, by the way, the leftist Bolsheviks can't wait any longer. Yahweh said, I'll put a hook in their jaw and pull them ahead before their time. They have to make a move before they want to. They would like to take another decade or two and they could pull this off without a hitch. But they're starting to panic because people are waking up. So they know, and that's why the big push right now to disarm you and to demonize you in the press. They can't hide what they're trying to do. You just have to pay attention, folks. They're telling you. They're signaling you what they're getting ready to do. They've demonized the white race. They've demonized particularly the white race that believes in the Bible, the Constitution, and the Second Amendment, demonizing them. And now they're starting to make it tougher and tougher for you to bear arms and to have arms, especially with these red flag laws, which are completely communistic. They are Bolshevism in your face. And I'm telling the men and women in uniform that are enforcing these dictatorial Bolshevik laws, you had better be careful. Yeah, I'm telling you. And that's not a threat. I'm being kind. It's called a warning. It's what we watchmen do. It's what the Father wants us to do. It's a word to your ears that you need to be listening to. Yeah, your superiors and all, just as Doug McIntosh said, the upper level have already sold their souls to the devil. Okay? So they're going to tell you that you have the right to do what you're doing, but I'm going to tell you, a day of reckoning will come. God have mercy on your soul when that day comes. The ex-Navy SEAL, Matt Bracken, spoke of it about a week or so ago. He made the exact same statement. I believe it was on a national show. My brothers and sisters in uniform, I hope you're not part of this. Because if you are, you're taking a stand with the enemy. And God help you. There will be no mercy shown. No quarter will be asked for. No quarter will be given. This is an all-out fight. I hope you men and women who are being lied to by your superiors understand that. When you try to impose your Bolshevik takeover of us, we've held back. We've been restrained for quite some time. When you make that move, it's the green light for us. There is no more restraint on our part. From that moment on, we go from being the hunted to the hunter. Again, I'm telling you this stuff because I'm being given these words to tell you. I personally am not going to do a damn thing. Okay? I'm just one man. If I could fix this problem as one man, I'd do it tonight. I know better than that. But what can I do? I can give voice to the words of the Almighty. His warning to his sons and daughters who have turned their backs on him that you had better come back to me, and you'd better come back to me fast. If you want to make it through what's coming, just as it was in the days of Noah, you'd better pay heed. Judgment starts in my house. That's what Yahweh said. Judgment starts in my house. But once I've cleansed my house, I'm coming after the rest of you. A flame and a fire, Jacob and Joseph. Obadiah, verse 18. Ezekiel, chapter 25, verse 14. Malachi, chapter 4. Three witnesses for you, folks. So even the enemy knows, you know, you can shut me up. That would be easy to do. But you can't prevent the truths that are being spoken about. So as Matt Bracken said, and even common sense says, you people who have deceived yourselves just because you've got a uniform on and you're carrying a weapon in our society, that gives you a right to do whatever they tell you to do? You think by taking a man's weapons and putting him in jail and in front of a corrupt judge and court system isn't going to have consequences? When it's our God-given right, irregardless of the Constitution. All the Constitution is a requirement of you public servants. When you took your oath of office, and you'd better have taken your oath of office, that's only a restraint on you that you behold and you uphold my God-given rights. My God-given rights came before the Constitution was ever even thought of. My God-given rights started with Adam and Eve. They've got nothing to do with a piece of paper. That's your restraint. That's the thing that keeps you in line, not me. So I don't care how you interpret the Constitution, you bastards. My rights existed before that document. When you try to take away God-given rights, you have become a worker of the Antichrists. You have become the Red Terror, known as the Bolshevik Terror of Russia. Again, read the books of Alexander Solzhenitsyn or any of the other people who survived those horrific times. That's what they've got planned for here. So you're going to have to fight, boys and girls. And I think that time is coming very, very soon, to be honest. I really do. You can feel it. Everybody today on the news, on the alternative media, was talking about feeling it. You can feel it bubbling up inside. That's probably the Holy Spirit for his children, telling them to get ready. When Yahweh takes the restrainer away, Jacob Israel will be free to do their duty against the wicked. There would be a cleansing of our house first. So we've got to get ready to see that. There will be those of our race who don't deserve to go forward. They'll be cleansed out. But once that cleansing's over, then it's a green light for us. Then we will do as our ancestors of old have always done. We will take care of the wicked in this world. The Jeffrey Epsteins won't see the light of day. All the rest of them will be rounded up and a tribunal will determine their fate. And if they've committed any of the capital crimes that the Bible talks about, they will be executed publicly. There'll be no hiding, oh, we'll do it behind closed doors, and you can trust us that they're really dead. You can trust us that Epstein was committed suicide. Sure, sure. You can trust us that George Bush, whatever, took his own life, and John McCain, yeah, sure, I trust you. No. When we do it, it'll be public. A public trial and a public execution. Just like now, when it's a real white hat coup d'etat by the military, it will involve we the people. It'll be in the open. And if it's not in the open, I hope, boys and girls, you're ready to fight to the end. Because what these Bolsheviks will do to you and your family, as my father told me many years ago, there are worse things than dying, folks. Please, please understand that. There are worse things than dying. Dying in the defense of your loved ones and your family and your neighbors is an honor. Yahweh said in several places, it is better to be hurt for doing good than evil. And there is no greater love than a friend who would lay down his life for his friends. Meaning brotherly friends, neighbors. Ralph sends in here, says, Dan, Gideon and the Spartans had their 300. We need our 300,000. Whatever number the Father wants, it doesn't matter to me. I made it very clear when the Father first told me about my mission in this world. If he wanted me to, I would go into the streets by myself. Don't know how in the hell I'd get past anybody or survive. I don't know it because it would be completely in his hands. But King David took that stand, and I kind of feel that that's the proper stand to take. I'm not going to question my commander, who is Yahweh, our Creator Father. I'm not going to question the commander because that is the worst thing I could do. So even though in my mind, that would be the dumbest thing to do. If he told me to do it, I'd do it. Right now, he's telling me to do what I'm doing right now, and that is to give instruction and to give warning. Warning to his children, but also a warning to the enemy. And a warning to those who are sitting on the fence, doing the bidding of the Christ killers, thinking that they're going to get away with it. The day of reckoning is right around the corner, folks. Now, Rick Wiles, who's down here in Central Florida on the East Coast, he has a TV program called True News. And I know Rick Wiles goes into some areas that I don't agree with, okay? Okay, but this is not what we're talking about. We're talking about what he had to say today. He was talking about the fact that the Israelis get overlooked by the world community, including the United States, probably the United States worst of all. Of all the atrocities they commit. And he makes the statement, God, couldn't we at least have one president who could say no to the Edomite Jew, Bolshevik communist? Because this one can't. Trump's never met a Jew he couldn't kiss or kiss the behind on. Okay? And if people are telling me he's playing 5D chess, well, I'm tired of the 5D chess, all right? Because all I see is ass kissing on Satan's kids. Okay? That's all I see. I don't see any of this doing anything for us. He keeps adding more and more swamp creatures to the list of people with power and decision making. And here we are 3 years into this administration. It's still the swamp running the swamp. Okay, so I'm tired of it. If you're playing 5D chess, time's up, Donald. Are you hearing me? Your time's up. If you're a white hat, then you and the damn white hats in the military better take up a stand because the rest of us out here are getting ready for war. Mentally first. You got to be mentally prepared to fight first, folks. You can have all the weapons and ammo. You could have thousands of rounds of ammunition, hundreds of weapons stacked up there. But if you're not mentally prepared, that's useless. All of that preparation is useless if you're not mentally prepared. So number one, number one is the mental preparation. You have to think like a warrior, and you have to be prepared that things could get very ugly. Now, my personal belief is that those of us that pray Psalm 91, Father is going to bring his troops, his sons and daughters, through this chaos, much like Gideon and his men. Miraculously, we're going to come through this and not lose a person. I honestly believe that. That's what happened with David. That's what happened with Gideon. I just believe that with all my heart. because we're not violent people. We're not going to go looking for trouble. But by God, if trouble comes to us, we're gonna dish it out until this thing settles down, and then the righteous armies are going to march through this earth, and we will destroy the wicked. It's time that it be put away. Or as John Mark says with the folks over with propertarianism, can't we fix this so that our children and grandchildren don't ever have to go through this again? Yeah, that's what heaven on earth is called, isn't it? Isn't that that's a modern way of describing what? The kingdom. Satan and his children that have mucked up this world and done all these terrible things are bound up so that the rest of us can live in peace, sit under our own fig tree, and enjoy the fruits of our own labor instead of having it all taxed away and stolen away by corrupt individuals in courts and government and police and military. Basically, go through and clean house. Let's take our military men and let's just go from one end of this world to the other and just go find them. We've got the means to do it. We've got technology now. Let's go find them. So, all the 5D chess, you've been getting away with it up to now. If that is what you're doing, I personally don't think so, because I don't see any signs of good deeds from this White House. I just don't see it. I see a lot of rhetoric. I see half measures just to get everybody to shut up, put their guns down, and sit back down. That's all I see. Because, again, Doug McIntosh said it very well. A true coup by white hats, men with righteous intentions, will include we citizen soldiers. If they don't bring us in on it so that we know what's going on and be part of the leadership of it and be part of this taking down of the wicked, then that's your sign that it's black hats behind this, and you'd better be ready to fight. You better be ready to fight, or else spend the rest of your life cowering in shame and going through the mental anguish knowing that you're a coward and you did nothing to stop it. As my dad said, there are far worse things than dying. Far worse. All right, that was the main thing I wanted to get over about the coup. I've got some notes being sent in here. I'm trying to... Okay, Ralph's sending me a bunch of stuff here. Strange things happening across the world. Yeah, it's part of the great shakening at the end of the age. The Greek words aren't talking about earthquakes and volcanoes and stuff like that. It's talking about exactly what we're seeing. Political upheaval, racial tension, demonstrations, people just beside themselves with anger and frustration and all this. That's a sign of the times. I want to read down through some of the news items that I gathered. Most of these I've put up on the website, PastorDan.net. But there was a good article I posted up there about the Second Amendment. Here's the irony. See, just like Rick Wiles said with True News, couldn't we please have a president that could stand up for our country and tell the Israelis to go to hell, or any other nation trying to get us to do their bidding, fight their wars for them, suck our people dry financially? Well, the same thing can be said here now. They're trying to disband the Second Amendment. Do you know we had an ad hoc committee clear back in the 1980s? I remember it. It was a prominent, I think it was Orrin Hatch, but I can't remember. He was a prominent congressman. He was the chairman of this ad hoc committee to tell us what the Second Amendment meant. Like something that simple, and we gotta pay these idiots in Washington for 2 years. It took them 2 years. And supposedly they went and gathered all these documents of the founding fathers and all this paperwork. And guess what their finding was? After 2 years and all the millions and millions of dollars, Well, it means what it says. The people have the right to keep and bear. Bear means carry arms for their defense. And you have no right, you being government, have no right to infringe on that right in any way, shape, or form. How about that? So we paid for this ad hoc committee just 30-some years ago, and they came out with a finding exactly what we've known from day one, and still we've got these Bolsheviks trying to take away our God-given rights. Well, that's a sign, folks. I'm hoping you're paying attention. Another article here says that T-Mobile cancels 5G installation nationwide. Now, you would think that would be mainline news, right? Anonymous employee blames 15 states' lawsuits against Sprint merger. So, T-Mobile is canceling 5G installations. Interesting, huh? The model agent accused of sourcing 12-year-old girls for Epstein vanishes like a ghost. Interesting on that one, too. Walmart, of course, traitorous now, especially since Sam Walton's not there. Obviously being run by the Talmud-thumping Christ killers. They're not going to sell weapons to we the people. There was an alert by High Impact Vlogs to Missouri, the state of Missouri, who's got a hag there in St. Louis, the mayor, who looks like she could be the sister of Angela Merkel. So she's a crypto Jew. Plus, I noticed when you go on Wikipedia trying to find out what her name was, her maiden name, they don't have it. Isn't it interesting? Most other people, they've got their birth name, their family surname, and then they tell them what it was when they're married. This woman that's the mayor in St. Louis, they just put her married name up there. Ah, it's one of the first signs that you're dealing with a crypto Jew. Greg Hunter had Dane Wigington on with him today talking about the Hurricane Dorian was definitely steered and an engineered event. So here we go again. Glyphosate, worse than we imagined, it's everywhere. Not only is glyphosate everywhere and it's poisoning us, but we also have human DNA showing up in many of the food supplies, especially coming from, guess what? What? Jew-run packing houses and Jew-run corporations on these corporate farms. Here again, corporations, everything corporate is negative. It's not hard to figure out. If you have to create a corporation to, what's the purpose of a corporation? Think about this. Limited liability. That is the main reason that they form corporations. Limited liability. What's biblical about the state giving somebody permission to be limited in their liability for what they say and do, their products and their actions? Doesn't the Bible say we should all be held accountable for what we say and do? Yeah. Now, here's a quote from J. Edgar Hoover in 1956. Now, J. Edgar Hoover was not a good man from everything I've read, but this is an interesting quote, and this is in Elks magazine from August of 1956. The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous he cannot believe it exists. The American mind simply has not come to a realization of the evil which has been introduced into our midst, called Jewish Bolshevism. It rejects even the assumption that human creatures could espouse a philosophy which must ultimately destroy all that is good and decent. Talmudism, Bolshevism, they hate everything. They hate Yahweh, they hate everything. Okay? So J. Edgar Hoover was talking about the fact, and still today people are that way. They just don't want to believe it. And then we have here an article we put up on the dcclothesline.com. and dcclothesline.com, article from today that says a constitutional sheriff calls for all of his citizens to always be armed. There you go, what we've been talking about. If you don't have a constitutional sheriff, get off your ass and get out there and support somebody that will be a constitutional sheriff and get him to behave like these other constitutional sheriffs. We're running about 10 to 15% in the country, the county sheriffs that are constitutional. We need it to be much more than that. That's a good start, but we need it to be much more than that. So he's telling all of his citizens in his county to always be armed. There is a true sheriff, who knows his rights and knows his power as the highest elected official at the county level. His main job is what? What's his main job, the county sheriff? To protect the people of the county against who? Federal government, state government, and criminals. And sometimes all three of them, because state and federal government commit crimes. So your last resource, your last line of defense and best line of defense is not only yourselves being armed, but having a sheriff who knows his power to protect his people. I was told that up in Detroit, somewhere near Detroit, there's a county sheriff that has kept the IRS at bay for almost a decade, 10 years. Almost 10 years the IRS can't get anybody in his county. Because here's a little thing that most people don't know. No outside agency of the state or the feds is allowed to come to your premises, your home, your farm, without going through the county sheriff first. And I know a friend of mine in Ohio who actually proved this to be true. He had taught his wife about it. One day he was not home when two agents of the IRS came up and wanted to start harassing them, and these two, this couple was friends of the county sheriff, so they knew their rights. So these two jokesters from the IRS come up, knocked on the door, started getting a little rough with her, and she said, oh, by the way, did you guys run by and see the sheriff before you came here? They turned around, got in their car, and she never saw him again. Okay? We have protections, but the enemy wants you to be ignorant of those protections. That's why they don't teach this stuff in school. They teach you complete idiocy in school. Nothing that's actually going to help you. Okay? But yeah, they're supposed to, anybody coming to see you from outside agencies outside of the county need to go through the county sheriff. And that gives him a chance to determine if they are on good grounds. Okay? Ralph says here, Dan, I know who killed Kennedy. It is like the movie The Orient Express, which is they were all in on it. Well, yeah. Yep. Yep. Well, Kennedy was going to restore money and give us back our precious metal backed currency, and the banking community couldn't allow that. He was going to get us out of Vietnam. Lyndon Baines Johnson, the crypto Jew, and his hag wife, both were making tons of money off the Vietnam War. So they knew Lyndon Johnson was going to undo everything Kennedy was trying to do within 24 hours. You see how fast things can happen? We're told here 3 years later, well, you gotta let Trump, wait a minute, it didn't take Lyndon Johnson but 24 hours to undo all the good things John F. Kennedy was going to do. Everything John F. Kennedy was going to do was undone in 24 hours. Why is that? Because his Bolshevik handlers were on his side. So again, Trump is either one of them or he's impotent. But neither of those is good. He's either one of them and playing us or he's impotent. But 3 years later, not a move has been made. And I want to know where the white hat coup d'etat is. All right? All right, I think that's enough for tonight. If anybody has a comment, question, or whatever, feel free to call in. If not, we'll go ahead and close in prayer then. Dear Heavenly Father, these are definitely perilous times. Please give us all this good discernment. Help us see through the lies, deceptions, propaganda, and all the game playing out there by the LARPs and everybody else, the trolls. We are just inundated with false information. But we all carry your Holy Spirit within us and speak to us. Help us to tune out all this noise so that we can hear that still small voice of your logic, your love, and your reasoning for your children. Because I know deep in my heart, you do not want harm to come to your children. If we obey you, if we love you, if we revere you, that is not the purpose of suffering in this world. Because we're already your children. The pain that this world brings is to get people to realize that they're going the wrong way and to come back to you, to repent. That's what repent means. So forgive us our shortcomings, Father, and our stumblings. Forgive us when we get a little on the weak side or we get a little angst and a little bit temperamental. That human side of us sometimes creeps in there. We try to have patience, but sometimes it's difficult. We ask you to overlook, grant us mercy when we show those signs of not having our act in altogether. And we know that there's a serious, serious event coming. We don't have the details of it, but something really, really big is about to take place. And we need to be on our best behavior and our best alertness and at our best physically and mentally as your sons and daughters and as the warriors to protect those we love. And to that end, Father, we ask that you would bless all of your children, those that do care and love you, and are teaching others these truths and are willing to fight for what is right, and if necessary, die. Bless their hearts, be with them and watch over them, and protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.